The title of my sermonette today is Compassion. I had an opportunity years ago to begin taking on management responsibilities. And at that point in time, I was just beginning to lead a team. And I had a conversation with my supervisor at that point in time, several years back, on that topic of managing my team. I was, again, just beginning to run a team of software developers, and I was looking for some guidance on how to handle a difficult situation having to do with something I don't recall a whole lot of detail about, but it probably had something to do with poor performance or some other kind of conflict. I don't remember specifically what it was. But I do remember his advice, and I believe it was good advice. He had commented on how easy it can be to be a judge on a matter without really understanding the full situation of what is facing another person. He said that before I come to a judgment on a matter, whether it's poor performance or whatever, it's always important to start by asking my team member, why? What's going on in your life that is affecting you, that may also be affecting your performance or whatever other problem that we might be discussing? He told me that I should work to understand what is going on in his or her life, because sometimes people are dealing with some hard stuff. Quite simply that. Maybe they have a brain tumor, was the example that he gave me. It almost seemed like a joke, honestly, but it was something that he had gone through personally. He had suffered a brain tumor and recovered, and it had affected the far reaches of his life. So he had this personal experience, and he was sharing this with me, that you don't always know the full story. People may be suffering through constant pain, bad sleep. They may suffer with trouble in their family, money problems, childhood trauma, you name it. It can be anything. The fact is, everyone is imperfect. There's nobody who can handle absolutely everything. Everyone has baggage of some kind or another. Everyone has something going on. And in fact, it would be boring if we didn't, right? This is what makes us human beings. We're not a box of yellow pencils. And everyone is a fellow human, a person who has value. Everybody should be treated with dignity and respect as a full human being if we want to see them at their best. The golden rule comes to mind: treat others as you would like them to treat you. It's pretty simple. The point is this: when building our relationships with others, compassion is essential if we are trying to demonstrate love. This is an attribute of love. Compassion helps us to understand what others are going through with care and with concern. Compassion helps to remove our own bias from a situation and see someone else through their own eyes and through their own experience. Trying to express love for another without compassion may offer a positive outcome, but it would be really void of fully understanding what they need in their lives. Compassion allows love to become full. Let's turn to Psalm 86 for the first scripture that we'll review today on this topic of compassion. We are in good, we're following a good model in adopting compassion, as we read in Psalm 86, verses 15 and 16. But you, O Lord, are God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. We know that God is love. And it's no surprise, then, that he has compassion for us. As it says here, he is full of compassion for us. He can see our human condition, how miserable it can be, and how difficult it is to overcome our carnal nature. He knows. He created us. And he has seen everything that we do. And what are the behaviors that God demonstrates because of his compassion? Well, he's long-suffering. He's very patient with us. Now, how wonderful is this, really? I mean, we make mistakes, we sin, we stumble, and we don't want to, but we do. Yet, he is patient with us, waiting for us to overcome. And for all of humanity, in fact, we know that he is not wanting anybody to suffer death. And he is merciful. That is another outcome of his abundant compassion. He knows that we deserve death, but he seeks mercy. He is so merciful, in fact, that he was willing to sacrifice his own son for the purpose of being merciful to us, to forgive us of our sins and give us a path forward for them. The compassion that God has for us takes our condition into account, and it is his expression of love for us. Yet God the Father is spiritual, and we are carnal. He is not made of flesh and blood as we are. He does not experience life in a carnal way as we do. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Jesus Christ did experience life as we do. He was fully man, flesh and blood. He understands us as well. Let's turn over to Hebrews 4, and I'd like to read verses 14 and 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ came to this earth fully man, fully flesh and blood. He experienced the same kind of struggles that we do, even to much greater extreme than we do. He suffered as we do, to an even greater degree. And the result, what was the result of his experience? Jesus Christ fully empathizes with our condition. He experienced life as we do. He knows our struggles. He uses that experience to have compassion for us today. He knows what we go through because he went through it himself. When he was on this earth conducting his ministry, several times he looked out at the multitudes around him and he was moved with compassion for them. He felt their suffering. He knew their need. He understood the magnitude of his purpose. He had compassion for us and has compassion for us, present tense. And this is our high priest. He is the one who judges us. And how great is that? When we do come before him and before his throne, we can do that with bold confidence, as it states here in Hebrews 4, because he knows us personally. When he knows what we go through. He knows what we struggle with. and he has compassion for us. He wants to offer us grace and forgiveness and mercy. That is the outcome of his compassionate love for us. And we can trust in that. We can have faith, bold faith, that he is willing to offer that compassionate love for us. And this is our model to follow. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3, and I'll read verses 8 through 9. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We have this instruction to be compassionate with one another, to take time to understand one another. It's easy to say, but it can be difficult to do. We live in our own skin. We know our lives and consider our lives just naturally. We do not live in the skin of another person. So it can be hard to truly empathize with what others are going through. It takes real work to understand others, for our compassion to be full and effective. Just as God the Father and Jesus Christ are compassionate, showing patience and mercy towards us, we are to do the same for others. We are to be compassionate in how we love our brothers and sisters. I'd like to take a moment to think about love and what that means. I will have you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll just read verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. And I want to listen to what's stated here very closely. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love, if we truly understand and put it into effect, is full of compassion for one another. When we think about what's stated about love here, it becomes so clear how preeminent this attribute of being a Christian is. We can develop a full set of skills to be a model Christian. These are all important things, by the way. They are necessary as in our Christian growth. We need to develop understanding. We need to develop knowledge. We need to learn generosity. We consider these fundamentals as Paul writes about them. They are important, once again, but consider them. The gift of prophecy, for example. How many prophets do we have today? Zero to my count. None that we are aware of today. What about our understanding all mysteries? How important is that? If someone has full understanding of all mysteries, yet does not have love, it's worthless. Even Daniel didn't understand all the mysteries, right? There were things that he said, I don't understand this yet. If we have all knowledge, knowing the Bible inside and out, full comprehension of history and how it all ties together, if we have that but don't have love, of what value is that? If we have faith so strong that we can move mountains, but if you don't have love, if you don't have compassionate love for one another, it's worthless. These are the things, these attributes, are what we are to work on in our Christian journey. But if we don't have love, compassionate love for one another, they are worthless. The greatest Christian attribute is love. We're not going to be perfect in the other stuff. But if we can work on love, true godly love for one another, with compassion, we're in a good place. As we go forward and find opportunities to extend love to others, let's take a moment to consider them, those individuals, the people that we interact with. What are they going through in their life that we should understand? Can we have compassion and be tender-hearted in how we show our love? If we do, we will be following the perfect example of God the Father and Jesus Christ in their love for us.